William Grant Still loved folk music, all kinds of folk music. In those selections from his little folk suites, we heard tunes from Brazil, Peru, America, Martinique, among others. That was the Oregon String Quartet performing.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn Broadcasting out of Henry Ford Community College. Thank you for tuning in on this day. We would love to share the opportunity of underwriting or sponsorship with you. If you have a business or organization that you think might benefit by partnering with WHFR, your non-commercial radio station here in the community, well, I'd love to talk with you. I'm Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager, and here's my telephone number. Let's chat. 313-845-9842. Again, 313 845-9842. Underwriting or sponsorship of WHFR's airwaves is really a cost-effective way to get your business name or organization name out to our very loyal and very wonderful listeners. It's a win-win situation. We can certainly use the funds that are generated through underwriting to help us continue the mission of making waves here in Metro Detroit, and you will partner and benefit through your great loyalty from our listeners. So, hope to hear from you.
Dearborn, 89.3 megahertz on your FM dial. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest today is Lisa Offerman, and she is a certified iridologist and has a PhD in holistic nutrition. Good morning, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I am well. I could have traveled by dog sled, but we're here.
You're here. I saw your boots and your whole winter get up, and it looked like you were ready for a dog sled ride, but
yes, I am.
You managed to make it here. It's still kind of nasty out there, but we got by.
Yes, we did.
Well, thank you for being here. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, we're going to talk about iridology first. What is iridology?
First, I'd like to say that iridology is an exact science. It's not a psychic happening, but it is an exact science. What we do is we look for different markers or indicators in the iris of the eye, and that pertains to certain areas of the body, basically speaking. And so I can look in the eye and I can see where your risk factors are. Tissue acuity, acute or subacute, degenerative, and give nutritional clues as to how to bring those back around.
Mm-hmm. So when you look in somebody's eye, you can see different parts of their body, the way it's broken down. I mean, is there certain areas of the eye that correlate with certain areas of the body?
Yes, that's correct. There's certain areas of the eye and that correlate to certain areas of the body. And what we do as iridologists is we set it up like a clock,
mm-hmm.
12 o'clock. Meaning the head area, 6 o'clock, the legs, that way, so we can keep it in perspective. And it's a fairly intricate science. It took me years to get confident with it. I do teach the class, and I've had several people that have gone forward, but out of hundreds, I probably have only had two, because it's a very intimidating science for someone who studies it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nuances involved.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's an ongoing thing. I mean, it's just not really, you reach one point and you say, okay, well, I know all about this particular subject. You have to keep studying as you go along?
You have to keep studying because as we find it, it's evolving. In fact, now iridology is almost an old term. Now they're calling it iology because there have been many doctors, and I do stress the term, we're talking physicians are the ones that are pursuing this, that are studying pupil signs, pupillary border, sclera, which is the white portion of the eye, which tells you what's going on right now, right here today, and of course the iris, which can tell you inherited characteristics and weaknesses. So this is expanding, and what the Iridology International Practitioners Association is trying to do is to try to make this a globally set standard so that as you travel or as you go from one continent to the other, all iridologists are doing the same thing so that it's considered more of an exact science rather than someone just doing it out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you have charts or maps of the eye that are pretty much standard as far as iridology goes?
Yes, we do. But as a matter of fact, within the last 10 years, they have just updated that. They have found more areas to the iris even. So I would imagine that we probably only know 1/10 of what the eye can tell us because it's such highly specialized nerve tissue. It is an extension of our brain, and our brain is the master computer of the entire body. So as these changes happen in the body, they will display in the eye.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, the eyes are the windows to your soul?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So if they keep evolving and changing, isn't it hard to keep up with all this information if it gets more and more minute?
Actually, I find it absolutely fascinating.
Okay.
I really do. Now, for the person who's first starting out, I would say that it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. They need to stick to one aspect of the science and leave it at that until they have mastered that before they expand. Because it even goes into, typing as far as a personality goes. And it goes into that. So it can go into not only the physical, but it can go into the emotional aspect also.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's depressed or something, you can look in their eyes and tell why?
You can't tell why, but you can tell that they are depressed. What you can tell is if it's an inherited type issue or if it's something that is acquired, something they're doing wrong or ill thoughts, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you look at both eyes or just one eye?
Yes, I look at both eyes because the right eye will display the right side of the body and the left side of the body, which confuses some people because when they say if someone has a stroke or has something wrong in the brain, it usually is the opposite side of the body that is affected. But the eye is a little bit different because the optic nerve crosses behind the eyes and then it crosses once again as it goes down the spine. So thus, the right side shows the right, the left shows the left, unless someone has some type of a deformity, and then it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, what things can you tell by just looking at somebody's eyes? I mean, there's so many different things, and I've seen the eye charts, and it really is broken down into a lot of different areas. It's hard to determine sometimes, isn't it, what might the problem be?
There's a lot that you can see in the eye. What I like to do is I like to be in the here and now. What's past is past, and it's time to work on what's here today. I find that a lot of iridologists or a lot of people who have gone to other iridologists will say, well, she told me I had the flu when I was 10 years old or that I broke my leg when I was 11 years old, and I'm not that type of a person. What's past is past. Yes, if you've had those issues and they're pertinent to today, if they're bothersome today, yes, we will address them. But right now, what I do is go for the things that I find are more predominantly in trouble and need to be turned around for that person's health. I'm not out to impress someone to so that I can show them what I can see, what I can do, that sort of thing. I'm there for that person. I'm there for their health and their well-being, and that's the main cause of this for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get interested in doing this?
It was a strange happening, and what I find with most people is that those of us who do things like this mm-hmm. usually do it because of their own ill health. They're trying to find a different way. But for me, at first, I used to go shopping with my mom at a health food store, and she was shopping one day, and I looked at her, and I said, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to jump in line over here. There was a gentleman off in the corner, and he was looking in people's eyes, and he had a lineup. He had a whole line of people. So as I made my way up there, and I got up to him, and he looked in my eyes, and he said, oh, my God, and he's making all these noises. And I just went, what is wrong? I'm like 21 years old. I feel on top of the world. I said, am I dying or what? And he says, you've got really bad kidneys. Well, now, of course, that's not a good way in my mind to present something like that to someone. So I have learned from that alone. But I looked at him and I said, are you crazy? I said, you're telling me you can see my kidneys in my eye? I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I said, I don't think I want to do this. I just wanted to see what this was all about. I don't think this is for me. And I started to walk away. And he grabbed my arm and he said, you don't understand how bad this is. You need to listen to me. And I turned to him and I said, you better let go of my arm right now or there's going to be some noise coming out. And I left. I started walking away and he says, you will be back to see me. I'll guarantee it. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I don't think so. And I left. And I was mad for days. But a year later, I ended up in Oakwood Hospital hemorrhaging from my kidneys.
Wow.
And you want to talk about a realization. I mean, I was just shaking, and I'm going, oh, my God, he told me about that a year ago.
Mm-hmm. And you were about, what, 22?
I was about 22 by then. Uh-huh. And I remember them after the hospital. They went into the ER, and they went to the OR. They looked inside to see. They did a cystoscopy. And then they were wheeling me into the recovery room, and the doctor was standing over me, patting me on the shoulder, going, don't worry, Lisa. He says, we're going to put you on the transplant list, and we're going to start dialysis. And there was that little voice, that person that was looking out above me, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I don't remember myself saying that. And I was in the back of my mind thinking, that man told me about that a year ago. There has to be another way. There has to be. So I did what the doctor said. I laid down for a while, but as soon as I got better, I went back to see him. As soon as I walked in that door, he looked at me and he goes, I told you you'd be back. And I apologized all over myself. And I said, I am so sorry I didn't listen to you. I said, I feel so bad. I said, you were right. This is what happened to me. I said, I need help. Can you help me? And he says, yes, I can help you. I said, fine. And then after you help me, I said, you're going to teach me everything you know. And that is basically how I started.
Right. Well, that's a wake-up call, to say the least. I mean, that's really dangerous, but obviously that makes quite an impression.
It made a huge impression, and it soon became, iridology became the love of my life. I could not get enough of it. It was so intriguing to me, because now I had something personally happen to me. I knew it worked. I followed the program. I changed my diet. I changed my life. I asked for forgiveness. I gave forgiveness. I mean, you have to leave no stone unturned when you're dealing with something that is that big. You have to. You have to change everything. And it's been, I can't even tell you how many years, 20-some years.
Yeah, well,
I'm embarrassed to say it.
Yeah, we don't want to get too specific. You know, we don't want to give anything away here.
But I've never, never had a day of dialysis, and I have never had a kidney transplant. And I remember 11 years after this happened, going back to the doctor and thinking, well, maybe I better have a checkup. And, of course, I did. And he said, your kidneys are 100% functioning. There's not a problem. And then I told him what happened. And he said, no, it must have been a misdiagnosis. I don't care. All I know is a profound change has happened for me. And I wanted to go to the top of the mountain and just tell everybody there's another way. You can take care of yourself. You can change things a little bit and make your life better.
Mm-hmm. Was that an out-of-body experience for you at all?
Part of it was because I don't remember answering the doctor back when I said, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember looking around going, who said that?
Right.
Was that me?
Right.
It was just, it was strange.
It was almost like somebody else talking for you. Right?
It was. And it was somebody pointing me in a direction where I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that. Mm-hmm. I was pointed in a direction.
Right. Well, I'd imagine you're a firm believer in there are no accidents in life, right?
No, there are not. Everything's mm-hmm. for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And that was your purpose. I think you learned the hard way, definitely, but it does make an impression, like I said.
Well, you know, and yes, it was the hard way, but even to this day, everything that I go through, in fact, I have to say my father at one point looked at me one day and he said, don't you feel good? And I said, no, I've got this or that. And he said, man, he says, you're always sick. He says, I don't get it. And I said, I do, don't you? And he looked at me strangely and he said, what? I said, by me going through this, I learn how to counteract it. And then when someone walks through my health food store into my door, I know what to do for them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's almost God's way of showing me the way by personal experience. Maybe it's because I'm stubborn and I have to be shown that way, which doesn't surprise me because I do happen to be a very headstrong person. So that's the way I look at it.
Right. Well, sometimes that's what it takes. It takes a serious illness or some catastrophe to really get the message through to somebody,
right,
to let them know what's going on and what they should do. Now,
right,
you do this, and where do you do it at?
I have a health food store in Monroe, Michigan on Telegraph Road. It's called Alive Naturally, and you can look it up under alivenaturally.com if you wish to. I do iridology there. I'm also a Bach flower practitioner, which is for emotions, and I also do allergy elimination. All of this expanded off of my iridology background, because as I began to learn iridology, it's wonderful to look in someone's eye and say, oh, I see this, this, and this, and then you go, now what do I do?
Right.
So what I found was, I've got to go back to school, because I've got this wonderful gift, and I have no background to turn this around for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going to school like crazy, and that's where I went to Clayton College of Natural Health, and I have my PhD in holistic nutrition to accompany the iridology.
Mm-hmm. So it all ties in together.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you do this, when somebody comes in to have their eyes examined, is it because somebody's feeling ill, or they just come and want to get an idea of what's going on with their bodies? How does that work?
It depends. I have a lot of people who come in because usually word of mouth, because someone else has gotten a good result. I have some people that just say, yeah, my ma told me I want this. I got to see what this is all about. Just kind of jokingly, you know, I don't believe this or something like that. But the interesting thing is when I get the repeat customers, such as I had one gentleman who came back and said it's been 5 years since he saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you haven't seen me in a while, have you? I said, no. I said, what happened? He said, well, remember last time I was here, you said something about an aortic, possibly an aneurysm, and I didn't listen to you when I left. And he said, that's where I've been. He said, it burst, and I've been fighting for my life to come back. He said, so now I'm here sitting in this chair again. He said, now, he says, when you say something, he said, I'm going to listen to you this time.
Mm-hmm. So, very important.
We get extremes. What did you think about it, Mike, when you first sat down?
Well, actually, I was with your associate at a psychic fair, mm-hmm. it was, in Plymouth, Michigan, I believe it was. But anyway, it just was really interesting because I thought, well, people have complimented me on my eyes before, and they say, you know, I've got nice eyes, whatever. I thought, you know, I felt fairly healthy, and, you know, I'm sure that, you know, I'll get a good, clean bill of health. Next thing I know, what's your associate's name again?
Brandy.
Brandy. She's telling me things like I'm saying, what? Are you crazy? This is what I'm thinking to myself.
Right.
Like, I was surprised that, you know, all of a sudden she started finding all these things that, you know, needed work. And I'm like, I don't understand this because I feel fine, you know.
Right.
I didn't really feel sick or anything, but I just thought it was interesting. And it was one of those things, again, you know, some of the things that people are describing. It's an aha moment, you know,
yes,
when
it is.
You people tell you about things like you're not really aware of, but you're willing to at least examine them and see what the problem might be or how you can correct certain things. It really was enlightening, I thought.
Yes, and we get that from a lot of people. They're either really on board with it or they just say, you know, well, this was a little novelty item I wanted to try and that's cool and I'm going to leave and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them have that, like you said, the aha moment like I did, whereas a year down the road or something that we have talked about comes into play. I have many women with like breast cancer or I do not diagnose cancer. I do not diagnose, period, but I can see the underactivity in the certain areas of the tissues, and I immediately tell them, you need to go see your doctor. And I've had several of them that have gone to their doctor and have had breast cancer. I've had one that as soon as she saw me, I said, don't go home. I want you to go straight to your doctor. I said, don't even go home. And I meant it. And she did. She wasn't too happy with me because she did end up in the hospital and she had bypass surgery the next day.
Mm-hmm.
These are acute people. And like you were saying, you didn't realize it. They don't realize it either because it kind of sneaks up on you
right. Gradually. And I just want to briefly remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Lisa Offerman, and she is a certified iridologist. Also, she has a PhD in holistic nutrition. Now, when somebody comes to you, you said you look at both eyes. How do you look at them? Do you examine them? How?
I have a magnifying glass and just a regular old mag light that I use if we want to do something quick. Otherwise, I have a Polaroid camera and I have a new digital camera where we will take the pictures. And what I like about that is that the pictures are right there as the client is sitting there and we can go through it together because they can see what I'm seeing. And then when we do a retake, maybe a year or two down the road, they can see the changes also. Because I know, Mike, when you came back, we had some very profound changes and I wasn't sure we were going to have any. Because it's kind of hard to change that diet, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, especially when it makes up 90% of your diet, it's
yes. Tough
to cut that stuff out. I think that's the thing, you know, it's hard to change. I mean, people know what they should do perhaps, but it's hard to make those changes because that's a major life change for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. And until you're faced with something that I was, they might not be ready to make that change. And most people, let's face it, in this day and age, want to take a pill. They want to take a pill, make the correction happen that way, so they don't have to change any aspect of their life. But diet is the first and foremost most important thing that you can do for the health of your body. Well, and I should back up the train because I'm watching you drink water, and I'm thinking that's the number one thing you can do for your health as far as diet goes. Because if you don't have water, you don't have anything. May I touch upon that for a moment? Go for it, huh? Okay. What I usually find with a lot of people when they come in and they want me to work with them, the first thing I ask them is, do you drink water? And most of them will say no. And surprisingly, most of the people who have some really very debilitating diseases and problems tell me they don't drink water, which really surprises me. It's gotten to the point where I won't work with somebody unless they drink water, because you won't get the outcome that you want. And to make my illustration to most people, what I began saying was, what do you drink? Well, I drink Coke or Pepsi. I just don't like the taste of water. And I said, okay. Well, do you have any animals at home? And they'll say, yeah. Cat, dog? Well, I have a cat. I said, okay. Well, do you put Coke in your cat's water dish? Well, no, I won't do that. That's bad for them. Did you hear what you just said?
Right, right.
Or I'll say, if they don't have animals, I have to get them one way or another. I have to push this through. Do you have houseplants? Well, yes, I do. Well, do you pour Coke into your houseplants? Well, no, it wouldn't survive. Then what makes you think your body can survive on that?
Right.
And that is the only way that I can do an analogy that really hits home. You have to drink water.
Right.
That's the basic.
Well, it's like Jack LaLanne, the exercise guru. He often says, you wouldn't give your dog a donut, a cigarette, and a cup of coffee in the morning, but yet people do it all the time.
Yes, they do.
And that is an interesting point that's really right on.
Yes. I remember Jack LaLanne.
Yeah.
Well, he's still around.
He's still around. He's doing this, right, juicer commercials
that's
and stuff.
Right.
But a big health proponent and really a great example of what exercise and nutrition can do for
you
a person.
Betcha. Yes, it's an excellent example.
More power to him. But again, it's the point that you get to think, it makes you think that, well, you're right. What am I putting into my body?
Correct.
And unfortunately, including myself, we rely a lot on caffeine.
Yes, we do.
And sugar and all the other stuff that's bad for you or could be bad for you.
Correct. And I do want to say this. Whoever wants to come to see me, I will do my best. I try to meet people where they're at in their life. I don't want to rock their whole world and change it upside down. Sometimes we take baby steps. But I do want them to be a little open to it and somewhat compliant, because I want to see the same outcome too. I want them to be as healthy as I have become through the years because of the iridology and everything else that I do. It's so important. You have nothing if you don't have your health. You have nothing.
Right. So. Well, that's very important. And a lot of people do take it for granted, that they just, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have your health, you're in trouble.
Correct.
There's no doubt about it. So when you look into a person's eyes and you see certain things that may be affected, different parts of the body, what do you suggest they do?
Well, that's where the training came in with the holistic nutrition, because I've done some intense studying as to what herbs, vitamins, nutrients, everything that you can do that's the chemical breakdown for those areas of the body. So we do that too, nutritionally, supplementally. But the one thing that I find that most people are missing is that there's always an emotional component to something that's wrong with your body. Now, which came first? We don't know. Sometimes the emotion comes first, which sets off the problem. Sometimes the problem comes first, which sets off the emotion. And we won't be able to tell by the eye. But we have to almost ask. Like if I see someone who has underactive liver, I want to look at them and say, have you had a long-standing resentment or anger? Do you have issues like that that are unresolved? And I know most people will say, well, yeah, who doesn't? But some people can really pinpoint it and say, yes, this is what it is. Well, if I can see it in the eye, because I can see it in the sclera, the emotion will show up there. But if I can see that in the eye, then it needs to be worked on.
Mm-hmm.
It's bothersome. It needs to be worked on. And you need to search your soul and find out where you're going wrong in your life emotionally, who you have hurt, who has hurt you. You have to leave everything.
Mm-hmm. And that shows up in a person's eye?
I can see emotions. And if mm-hmm. they show up on, let's see, if they show up on the left side, In the sclera, it usually refers to heart. They're usually a heart sick. So it's sorrow, sadness. Sometimes it's extreme joy, but we don't normally see that. Mm-hmm. And then if it's on the right side, it's usually the liver, and that's usually the anger, the resentment. So we can see that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what different parts of the eye are connected to different parts of the body? When you look into something, you see different areas of the eye, and you automatically know what body area is affected?
Absolutely. When we are just fetuses and we are developing, the eye is one of the first things that develops. That's highly specialized nerve tissue. And like I said before, it's an extension of the brain. So then all the nerves that flow through into the body brings the signal up. But the placement of everything in the eye is just so wonderfully orchestrated, because right around the pupil is the stomach area. And that is the area where you eat, and it feeds you, and then it goes into the intestinal area, and that area of the body feeds all the rest of the organs. And it's set up beautifully in the eye so that we can see if there's a problem with digestion in the colon, how it will affect other parts of the body. We are not pieces, parts. If you have a problem with your big toe, and you go somewhere for some relief, and they go, oh, well, we got to look at that joint in the big toe, or well, maybe you have this or that. No. When you come to me, we don't treat the big toe. We treat the entire body. I'm going to look in your eye, and I'm going to say, well, you know what? Your digestion is off. You're not digesting it. You have over-acid body chemistry. And they go, I didn't come here for that. I want to know what's wrong with my toe. And I'll look at them and say, you don't understand. That is part of it. When we treat the whole body and we get the nutrients in and we correct the systems, those things usually resolve themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you said the eye, I guess the bottom of the eye correlates with the bottom of the body.
Yes.
So if they did have a foot problem, you would look in that area of the eye to see that maybe they're having a problem with their foot as
right.
opposed to just the big toe.
Right. And I could see that if that is exactly what's wrong. But like I was saying, with the person who has the big toe problem, perhaps it's gout. It's mm-hmm. not going to show up in the eye like that. It's going to show up as a very white area, which means over acid. And that's what gout is. Mm-hmm. It's a buildup of acids in the tissues. So we look at it that way, too. That's why we treat the whole person instead of pieces, parts.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I almost got that out. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today Lisa Offerman is my guest, and she is a certified iridologist and also a PhD in holistic nutrition. So what I want to know is, the medical community, are they accepting more and more the idea of using iridology in perhaps diagnosing certain illnesses or anything like that?
That is a most interesting question, and I find that a little ironic, because the entire science was founded by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Right from the get-go, a doctor started this, pioneered this whole thing, and then other doctors like Dr. Di Lorenzo right now, he's in Italy. He's the one who's pioneering the pupillary border. So there's many doctors that are into this, but yet the doctor community does not recognize this. I think it's partially because what I was saying before, the International Iridology Practitioners Association is trying to establish a global rhetoric for this science, so that it can be more regulated, watched over, so that every iridologist is consistent and on the same page. So until they do that, I can see where they would be a little, standoffish on the science, but they don't particularly care for it when a patient comes in to see them and says, hey, this lady looked in my eyes and said I have this. They laugh. And it does sound kind of funny. I mean, that was my first reaction, too. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. So when people come to see me and they say that, I look at them and I laugh with them, because I say, you know what? I understand exactly what you're saying, because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem a little strange, but
right,
it's there.
But have you found they are more accepting of it as time goes by, if more and more people come to them and say, hey, like I said, some lady saw something in my eyes and want to get it checked out? Or is it something they still just poo-poo and say, no, that's not really the way it is, or that's not really relative?
Just a select few that I have seen. The majority of doctors do not.
Really?
Absolutely do not.
Hmm.
No.
Okay, so now you progress. You say you're a nutrition expert. What do you use in order to help people? Do you use vitamins? Do you use like healthy foods, that kind of thing, to help correct certain situations?
Yes, we do. We absolutely have to start with the diet. Have to. Water first, and then the diet, and then we do the supplemental. Because I don't believe in the take a pill and get better. You have to change your life. You have to change your diet. You have to want to. You have to want
right,
to.
Right, right.
And you have to recognize that this may have an emotional component to it. That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot separate the head from the body. This is just
right.
the way it is.
Right.
Every thought, everything that that goes through your mind, every anger issue, every poor me, everything like that, if you do it long enough, will manifest in certain organs. For me, the kidney is supposed to be fear. And as we were talking before, Mike, I had said before, I have a lot of problems with fear. I have a lot of fear to overcome.
Well,
I have fear of water.
We all have fear, but okay, you have a fear of water. What else?
I had a fear of dogs for a while because I was attacked by one. But when these fears hit you and they're persistent and consistent in your mind, they can make one matter even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wonderful lady out there. Her name was Louise Hay. And she writes a book that corresponds to every area of the body and how it pertains to your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that absolutely fascinating.
Right.
It's wonderful. So I think anybody who has a problem needs to look at that book, Louise mm-hmm. Hay, Heal Your Body Now.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Right. Well, she used to have a column in Phenomen News, and I know that she's done several books on health and health issues, and she's very good. She really gets to the heart of the matter, usually in different ways.
Yeah.
But so nutrition is first and foremost, water being the most important to anybody's diet. They have to drink more water.
Yes, that's correct. More mm-hmm. water. Then we can, once we get the nutrition straightened out, then we can go after the supplemental. Because I don't believe in the just take a pill.
Has anybody come back to you and said, well, you know, I've tried this, this, and this, and it's not working? Do you just try to adjust there, or do you just say to that person, well, you're not doing it correctly? What happens?
It depends on what they're going through. I like to work with people where they're at. Well, then I look at them and say, well, maybe we went about this a little bit too quickly. Let's just change breakfast at first, or let's just change the snack, or let's get you off of the pop first. We go from pop to maybe fruit juices to diluted fruit juices to water. So we kind of do it in stages. So it's real important when someone comes to see me that I understand where they're at, but I don't and I won't unless they tell me. So I ask a lot of questions, and I really appreciate when they're candid with me, and I tell them that. I say, I appreciate your honesty. You know, I have a lot of people who come to see me who are overweight and want to, you know, learn how to eat better and lose the weight. And then when I ask them about their diet, it sounds like an exemplary diet. And I'm thinking to myself, so I've gotten to the point where I look at them now and I say, well, what do you attribute your overweightness to? And that's when it starts to spill out, because
mm-hmm.
now they're gonna understand that I'm going, wait a minute, in my head, how could you be that weight if you're eating that well?
Right.
So then it starts to happen that they're eating Oreos in the closet
right.
or things like that. And, you know, we're human.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when somebody does something like that, we have to look at emotions. Is that emotionally based? It's almost crying emotions.
Right.
So, once again, when you're working with someone's health, if you ignore the emotional aspect and sometimes the spiritual aspect,
right,
you won't get anywhere.
Right. Now, when you do a diagnosis on somebody, do you feel it's partly intuitive on your part?
First of all, I don't like to call it a diagnosis. Because that's a term that's only for doctors, so I don't want to get in too much trouble. But
okay, well, that's good. Nobody wants to get in trouble.
But when I look into someone's eyes, I have just recently, after doing this for so many years, yes, I have begun to be able to be, I feel, a little bit intuitive as far as the emotional aspect, especially with people with anorexia, that sort of thing, or older people who, you know, don't have the will to live, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can really start to see that.
Right. So honesty is a big key. They have to be honest with you, let them or let you know what's going on in their lives so that you can better heal them or better suggest certain things for them to do.
Right. Because I suggest, and this is what I tell them, you are here today. I'm going to give you a lot of information. I'm going to write it all down, and then I'm going to hand it to you. What you choose to do with this is up to you. Because
right.
once I do that, I'm out of it. And if you right. want help with it, I'll help you. But after that, you're on your own.
Right.
Because what I don't want people to do is have me as a crutch. Because I've had that happen a few times where they call me every other day and say, I did this. Is that okay? Or can I have this? Or I don't want people calling me and asking me, you know, every little thing they put in their mouth if they can do that. I
right.
want them to be able to think on their own, pursue knowledge, read, and I will always give them books or suggestions for books to read as far as nutrition goes.
So. Right, but it's up to them to make the healthy choice.
Yes.
So you don't necessarily preach or give sermons about certain things. You just present it, and then it's up to the individual to either take it or not take it.
Right, exactly. At that point, I want to see how dedicated they are. And in some instances with some people, I'll even look at them and say, don't waste my time and don't waste yours,
mm-hmm.
which sounds a little hardcore
right.
and right out there. But sometimes that snaps them out of it, and they go, oh, she's really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I am. I am not here, you know, to make a buck or to do, because as you know, we really don't make
right.
that much money. I'm here to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because a gift was given to me.
Right.
And it is my obligation to pass it on to
right.
other people.
Well, it's obviously something you believe in very, very strongly. Again, based on your history, that would have a huge impact on how you feel about a certain thing and why you want to pursue it.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And may I touch on something, Mike, that I think is really important? I want to touch on the main focus of what I'm seeing nowadays in people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things, stomach ailments. I see a lot of stomach ailments, and we could probably talk the rest of the show just on this fact alone. But what I'm finding is that people have done so many fast foods, overcooked foods. They don't eat a lot of raw foods, no more fruits and vegetables. Actually, they're saying 70% of your diet should be raw, and I don't mean raw meat. No sushi.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Right.
But we're just missing the enzymes, and the enzymes are the spark of life. They make everything happen in the body. Your body would not be alive without enzymes. So I see most of the people, the very first thing I'm going to put them on is digestive enzymes. And they say, well, I don't have anything wrong with my stomach. And I'll say, well, you know, according to what I'm seeing, you do. And then once they start on the digestive enzymes, then they feel the difference. And then they go, well, I guess I did have something wrong. So that's one of the key things. And I have a wonderful story that I can share with you.
Okay, please do.
That's okay. It's kind of funny.
Okay, not grotesque at all.
No.
All right.
I had this little old man, he came into the store, and he looked at me, and he said, he was a little gruff. Hey, lady, he goes, and I says, yeah. I was a little scared of this guy. He says, I need your help. And I said, well, what do you need? And he says, well, and he showed me his arm. He pulled up his sleeve, and he said, you see this? And I said, yeah, and his arm was a little mangled. And he said, I've broken this arm every year for the past 3 years, he said. And my doctor told me if I can't figure out a way to heal it, I loved that part, that he's going to put a steel rod in there. And I said, okay. I said, what are you on for your stomach? And he looked at me and he said, lady, didn't you hear a word I said? I'm not here for my stomach. I'm here for my arm. I said, yes, I did. I heard exactly what you said. I said, let me ask you, are you on an antacid of some kind? And I can't say the brand name, but he was. And I said, that's your problem. And he said, well, why is that my problem? I said, because you need an acid environment in your stomach, the very thing that was put there from God to process, break down nutrients, especially your minerals, to help heal that bone. And by taking that antacid, you are taking your body's ability to break down those nutrients away, and you can't heal that bone. Well, I think that was a little overwhelming for him. And he looked at me and he said, why should I listen to you? You're not a doctor. And, you know, I looked at him and I said, you know, I can appreciate that. I said, let me send you to somebody who can help you that is a doctor that maybe you'll feel more comfortable with. So I sent him to this wonderful doctor, Dr. James Roberts. He's in Toledo, and he's fantastic. And he did what they call a Heidelberg test on him.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is after the fact I'm hearing all this. And I guess he found out that, yes, in fact, he wasn't digesting. So about 6 months down the road, maybe 6 or 8 months, he came back into the store, and I didn't even recognize him at first. And he just grabbed me and hugged me. He said, hey, look, he said, for the first time in 3 years, my arm is healed. And I said, oh, my God, what did you do? He said, well, I went and he told me about Dr. Roberts doing the Heidelberg test. He says, you were right. I was not digesting. I couldn't get the nutrients to heal this bone. He said, and now I finally have healed it. He says, I'm just elated. I'm so happy. So people don't realize how important it is that not only what you eat, but what you can digest. Because you could be eating the greatest diet in the world, but right. if you don't have the digestive capability to break that down, it's not going to do you any good. So that's mainly the one of the biggest things that I'm seeing is digestive insufficiency.
Right. So it's just not what you're taking into your body, but how your body uses that.
Exactly, how you're assimilating and what we're doing to counteract it. Coffee, one of the biggest vices, I think, in this world, is highly acidic.
Okay, guilty, yes.
So I see a lot of people who perhaps drink a pot or two of coffee a day, and I say, well, you really, you know, that you need to cut back on that. Well, I don't think that's that much. It is. It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm not that bad.
I myself do not drink coffee because I don't like the way I feel mm-hmm. when I drink it. And what I see, when I see in people's eyes, I see a malabsorption, and sometimes it's from coffee or dairy or wheat. We have a lot of people who are wheat intolerant and gluten intolerant and are walking around and don't even know it, but that creates a malabsorption. So I think my biggest sticking point for everything as far as the iridology goes and the allergy elimination is digesting. If you can't digest, we're going to be in trouble right from the get-go. So mm-hmm. we have to work on that first. That's very important.
Right. Well, when you describe a case like this gentleman with the broken arm, it must be rewarding for people to come back to you and say, hey, you've really helped me. This was the problem. I've really taken care of the situation. Doesn't that make you feel good?
It makes me feel wonderful. It makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's mm-hmm. it's very fulfilling for me.
Mm-hmm. So you feel this is like your life mission?
Let me put it to you this way, which is kind of funny. If I ever stray from this life's mission, which is what I have found, the man upstairs has a tendency to point me back in this direction. Mm-hmm. No matter which way I go,
right.
I want to pursue something else. I find myself coming back because something else has happened that points me right back to this direction. So I remember looking up one day and just saying, okay, I get it. I'll do it.
Right. You've convinced me.
Yes.
Right. Well, again, that gets back to a life mission and the fact that you've had all these events that will point you in a certain direction.
Absolutely.
It's hard to deny that.
And how many of us are going around and being hit by these life's events and not paying attention and listening to them? They're out there.
Right, right. But again, you know, it's like Wayne Dyer says, sometimes it's a illness or a serious event in your life that will get you to thinking that you must change.
Absolutely.
For the better.
Yep, you're going too fast, you're pushing too hard, and all of a sudden you fall over and you have to stop. One way or another, it will happen.
Right, you have no choice. Right. If it's God's will, that's it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So now when you work with a person and you determine that they really do have something seriously wrong, you said you do send them to a certain doctor in Toledo. Do you send them to doctors in general if you feel they really have a serious problem?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be a doctor. All I'm trying to do is help everybody else nutritionally bring up the level of their health. So if I see something that's of a crisis stage, I will send them to their doctor. The funny part of that is as we're sitting there trying to determine how we're going to tell their doctor what we have found, because you can't just walk into somebody and say, hey, this lady looked in my eyes and said that I might, you know, have an artery that's blocked or something like that. So we have to approach it a little differently so that our point gets across, but yet they're not thinking that we're absolutely crazy and commit us to a psychiatric ward
right.
instead of something else.
But you've never gone with a patient to a doctor's in order to explain the situation?
I have once.
Uh-huh.
I have once. And because Dr. Roberts and I have such a good rapport, he's the one that I can go to. And I have done that before with a patient, yes.
Mm-hmm. So this Dr. Roberts is open to different, I guess, ways of to determine what's wrong with the body?
Yes. Dr. Roberts is a very gifted, brilliant cardiologist who has found that working not only with the traditional medicine, but also more holistically, he has gotten terrific results with his patients. And he is just soaring, and people flock to him from all across the country. He wrote a book with Dr. Sinatra, which a lot of people will know that one. It's reverse heart disease now. It's a fantastic book, and I would highly recommend it to everyone and anyone who has heart disease or has heart disease in the family. It's a fantastic book.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Lisa Offerman, and she is a certified iridologist and also has a PhD in holistic nutrition. Now, this nutrition PhD, how'd you get that?
Well, like I said before, once I started doing iridology, I had to do an adjunct as to how I can help people once I find something in the eye. So I had to learn, they call it the chemistry of man, the different areas of the body, what feeds it, what doesn't feed it, things you should stay away from. So I went to school for 11 years.
11 years. Oh, is that all? Just 11? But who's counting, right?
Oh, I was definitely counting.
Yeah.
11 years. But it was almost like a labor of love. I enjoyed every minute of it. I learned so much. And it was not your traditional nutritional classes. Because it's from Clayton College of Natural Health, they did it a little bit differently. We had to map out dietary programs for people who had to lose weight, who had diabetes. So we really learned different ways to handle different situations. But we also went into the supplements, hyaluronic acid, the fish oils, for instance. A lot of people are taking those and have no idea why they're taking those. So that's our job and our mission, to teach people why they are taking what they're taking and how it helps them and benefits their body nutritionally.
Right.
So,
well, people just hear something that's going to help them physically, like the fish oil, that might be the hot topic or whatever, and I know a lot of people are starting to drink more wine because that's supposed to be good for your heart. Gives them a chance to, you know, or an excuse to, you know, drink more wine. But again, it's what you hear. And it seems like every time you turn around, they have one test that says it's okay to consume something. 6 months later, they have another test come out that says you shouldn't do it. So it's a lot of times a mixed message. Do you stay on course pretty much? You don't deviate a whole lot from every 6 months?
Oh, no. I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. When you see those tests, please look at who has funded those tests, and then you will get to the bottom of what's going on with those tests.
It's all about the money, is that it?
That's usually how it traces back. It's usually all about the money, which is sad. It's very sad,
right.
But
it's reality, too, so, you know,
well, now,
that stuff
you know
happens.
What, Mike? When someone comes into my store, and this is what I can really appreciate, because I've had people tell me this, and they're looking for a certain thing, or they've read something and say, I heard I should take alpha-lipoic acid. It's for this or for that. And I'll look at them and say, no, you know what? It is, but not. There's something better you can do instead. Or I have people that come in for diet products. I've got to tell you, I absolutely hate diet supplements, because you have to start with a diet, not
right.
Take a pill
right.
That pushes the body beyond the brink, and then you have a pooped out thyroid, your adrenals are underactive, and then you really put on the weight. Because I keep telling them, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I didn't make that up. That's been in science for a long time.
Sir Isaac Newton, I believe.
So that's very important for them to realize. If you push and push and push, because I have these people on these huge diet pills, then what happens when you go off of it? Your mm-hmm. body just goes, and it relaxes, and it just doesn't function anymore. Then they put the weight back on. So a lot of people are amazed when they come into my store and say, hey, I want a diet product. And I say, I won't sell you one. And what do you mean you won't sell me one? They're not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to start with your diet first. And they look at me and say, let me get this straight. You own a store, you sell products, and you won't sell this to me. Well, if you want it, you can have it. I'll sell it to you. But I'm telling you, that's not the right way to start. And I started to get people that came back and said, you know what? This is why I come to you, because I know you'll tell me the truth. You're not out here to make a sale, because that's what we've noticed. If I come in here and I'm dead set on getting, like I said, the alpha lipoic acid or, you know, the hyaluronic acid or whatever, and you say, no, that's not your best choice, or no, you really don't need that. This is what you need, or you don't need that at all. Go home and do a diet. Eat pineapple, something like that instead. And they just look at me with this puzzled look on their face like, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, I thought you were here to sell me a product, and I don't like doing that.
Right, just for the sake of selling something.
Yeah, what my main goal is for somebody to come back and say, wow, you know, you've really made a difference in my life. And that's what I want to do.
Right. Well, that's the easy way out. I mean, you can sell anybody anything. But also, again, people hear the hot topic, the hot button, whatever it might be as far as nutrition goes, and that's what they want because they think that's what to do.
We call it the flavor of the month.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Almost like 32 flavors or something like that. They just drop by and they want to get the latest thing.
Yes, whatever's on Oprah.
Oh, really?
Whatever's on Oprah or in Women's World magazine.
Right.
They need to call us and let us know ahead of time so we can stock the shelves because we're just not prepared for that. I mean, God bless him. We love it. Dr. Oz, he's wonderful. He has taught us that energy medicine is the way of the future. And we've known that for a while. All of us people in holistic nutrition, we have known that for a long, long time. But he is finally bringing it to the forefront for us, kind of pioneering the way, so we can say, yes, acupuncture is good, acupressure is good, Reiki is good. The manipulation of energy in the body, it's easy, it's quick, the body responds to it. It makes a profound difference, and it is the way of the future. It's non-invasive. It's wonderful.
Right, right. Well, again, it's all tied in. You know, I think that it's unrealistic for the medical community just to ignore everything or just because it may not be certified by something or some institution that it can't be helpful because it can be if the need arises.
The way I look at it is this. They can ignore if they want to, but they're going to be left behind. Because we are progressing, and people are tired of not getting the answers that they want.
Right.
They need answers, and what they're finding now and what we're finding is that we get an influx of people because we are getting there.
Right. Well, again, I've heard more doctors getting in touch with Reiki and a few other things like that that might have been considered radical a few years ago. But, again, I think as time goes by, people are learning that it's all connected somehow.
It's not only connected, and you bring up a wonderful point with that. What we're trying to say is we are not the enemy. They are not the enemy. We have got to meet each other halfway.
Right.
Because people are demanding it now. We've got to meet each other halfway and say, you're not right, you're not wrong. We can work together. You need this drug. You absolutely do. It makes a difference in your life. But let's look at it nutritionally this way and you know, add something to it. Yes, some scientific research has to be done so there's no interactions, which is something that we're trying to pursue. And I try to keep up on that, but it changes constantly. And just in the FDA group alone, I mean, how many drugs have been put on the market and then have damaged people and have been pulled off, and they have been studied for years.
Right.
So we've got some problems in this industry that we need to clean up, and they need to clean up their house too.
Right. Well, again, it gets down to the money.
Yes, it
who's
does.
Who's supplying the drugs and who's paying off who or whatever might be going on. It's all connected in a lot of different ways.
Right, right.
So how long have you had your health food store?
I've had my health food store for 8 years, 8 wonderful years.
Okay.
And it's just been a godsend, and I'd like to thank the people in the area and people who have come from far and wide. I've had Illinois, Kentucky, Wisconsin, up north. I've had a lot of people that have come to see me. I have people that were in Texas that called people in Michigan and said, hey, I heard you got this really great iridologist there. I'm going to fly up there, and they make appointments to see me. That's flattering for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Oh, yes, it's got to be.
It's really nice. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm doing something right. So that's my mission in life. I'm going to continue. I have recently added in NAET, they call it, Nambudapad's Allergy Elimination Technique. That's an acupressure technique where we can relieve a person's allergies by manipulating the energy in the body. It's beautiful. For all the people who have hay fever, have suffered for years, food allergies, food intolerances, even just the slightest allergies, we can, or sensitivities, we can even call them. We can eliminate them just mm-hmm. by doing the energy manipulation in the body. So there's some wonderful new things on the horizon. And what I always tell everybody when they come into the store, if they have a problem or an issue, what I do here is not the end-all be-all. This might not be, but the God-given thing that they need to change things. By all means, keep pursuing. Keep mm-hmm. looking, because everything in the science is advancing and everything is changing, and they will find the answer. It will be there, but they have to look. They have to keep going.
Right. Now, have you ever had a person that is really upset with you because you've told them that this is the problem and they have chosen not to take in your advice? Have they really come in and said, you know, I'm very upset, et cetera, anything like that?
You know, I can honestly say I have not had anyone that has done that.
Well,
I hope
good.
I never do.
Yeah, right. Knock on wood, right? Now, it's not possible for a person to just take a picture of their eyes and send it to you. Is it something that has to be done in person?
No, they can do that. But the problem is that I have to have good resolution. I have to be able to see the fibers in the eye. And a lot of people don't have that concept. And it's quite a lens that you have to have. What are those? Micro lenses.
And I don't know.
I know our micro lenses was like thousands of dollars just to get that. So, I mean, if they have the equipment, absolutely.
Right. But it's got to be clear so you can read it and determine what the
right.
problem is.
Absolutely. It mm-hmm. has to be very clear.
Mm-hmm. So people have flown in from all over the United States just to consult with you?
They have, and it's very flattering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's got to be. Again, how often does that happen?
Oh, I would say probably 2 to 3 times a year. We don't have a whole lot, but about 2 to 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
There are several really, really good iridologists, and I know there's one in Texas. The main gist of them are in California,
mm-hmm.
in the San Diego area. And then they're worldwide. Like mm-hmm. I said, the Dr. DiLoretto from, I think it's from Venice, Italy, and he is pursuing a science in the field of iridology that is just phenomenal. He's looking at the 9 months of gestation mm-hmm. in the womb, and then your risk factors once you get out for disease and health, and they can almost determine the lifespan mm-hmm. through the eyes. So
of a person,
of
or
a person,
really?
Of
yeah.
a person. So he's just getting into that, and it's a little bit above my head. I went to one of his classes, and it's kind of hard because he had an interpreter because he's
uh-huh.
Italian,
right?
And I don't speak Italian, and so it was a little bit difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it was
well,
good.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
They can call the store, Alive Naturally. That number is 734-242-5030. Or like I said, they can go on our web, alivenaturally.com, and they can check us out and see, and all the information's on there. Or I'd love to see them in person come to the store. We're in Monroe on Telegraph Road. Very
mm-hmm.
easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Now, aren't you doing some classes too?
I have an 8-hour intensive iridology class coming up on January the 24th. It's $130. And when I say it's an 8-hour intensive, I mean it's intensive. So you have to bring your thinking caps, no distractions, and I only take 6 people. I like to have very small classes so that everyone gets everything they need out of it and I can ask all the questions that they want. So I invite them to come.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you go to like a holistic fair?
Well, at least 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm. There's just certain ones you go to?
There are now, yes. Mm-hmm. I love the Body, Mind, Spirit Festival, and Toledo has recently gotten one started. They're going to have their first one April 4th and 5th. So I've been invited to that, so I'm excited about that.
Okay. Well, you're keeping busy anyway, and that's a good thing, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Keeping very busy. We're very mm-hmm. grateful, very thankful, because we have just done wonderfully. People are letting us know that we're important and that what we do is valued by them.
Mm-hmm. How's your family feel about all this? Do they support you?
My husband, he's a wonderful support. My mom and dad, they're wonderful supports also. My kids have gotten to the point where I say, let me look in your eyes, and they run away.
Oh, really? Yeah. They've had enough of it. Is that it?
Because, you know, last time you told me that, I was sick.
Yeah. They don't want to hear bad
news,
right?
They don't want to know. Yeah, so.
Yeah, if it's something that's going to be great and fantastic, they want to hear it. Otherwise, forget it. Right.
Yeah. And I have some people that do that, too.
Really?
They'll sit down in my chair and say, I don't want to hear anything bad. And I said, well, you know, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know, I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm sorry. This is the way. And I can't do that. I won't do that.
Right.
I won't compromise my principles
right.
for that.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here. I do appreciate it. You've been a great guest, very informative, and it's been wonderful having you here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And thanks for making through the snow, too. That's a big key. I know it was tough. And I just wanted to make this announcement. Unfortunately, we were off the internet, and we couldn't stream live today. However, you can hear this complete show if you're interested, and you can hear that on the podcast portion of our website at WHFR, and that website is www.whfr.fm if you want to hear the complete interview once again. Sorry about the internet problem, but it's technology, and maybe it's weather-related. We don't know. But once again, I just want to thank Lisa for being in here. I'm Mike Holloway. I've been your host for Metaphysically Speaking. Please join us next month. We'll be back January 17th in the brand new year. So thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Good morning, this is WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves, and I'm Lynn. I'm sitting in for Bill, and welcome to Light from the Underground.